Today's scripture is taken from the book of Isaiah, chapter 7, verse 14, and chapter 9, verse 6, and also Matthew, chapter 1, verses 18 through 23. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Look, the young woman is with child and shall bear a son, and shall name him Emmanuel. For a child has been born for us, a son given to us. Authority rests upon his shoulders, and his name is Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Now the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. Her husband Joseph, being a righteous man, and unwilling to expose her to public disgrace, planned to dismiss her quietly. But just when he had resolved to do this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet. Look, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. May God have his blessing to the reading of these holy words.
Joe Ryder paid me a great compliment when I went to the nursing home to visit her last week. Now, you should know that visiting someone in a nursing home is a little bit tricky, finding the right time. You don't want to go too early because the staff is helping the residents get cleaned and dressed for the day. You don't want to go too late because the staff is helping the residents get ready for bed. You don't want to go at mealtime because people need to eat. If you go in the mid-morning or the mid-afternoon, the residents may be involved with physical therapy or occupational therapy or speech therapy or some other activity. So you just take your chances when you go. Now, I've learned this because I've been visiting people in nursing homes for over 45 years. When I was in seminary, I was a pastoral intern at the Crescent Hill Baptist Church, and one of my assignments was to visit people in the nursing home. In fact, Linda and I celebrated our first Valentine's Day together in a nursing home. Don't say I'm not romantic. I was involved with a party at a nursing home on Valentine's Day, and I invited Linda and her 4-year-old daughter, Amy, to go with me for the fun. Well, over the years as a pastor, I have visited more people in nursing homes than I can remember. So visiting someone is not a novelty, but last week Joe Ryder paid me a compliment that I never received before. As I said, it's tricky knowing when to visit. I took my chances and I went at 11:15 in the morning, thinking the morning activities will be over, not time for lunch yet. 11:15 would be the perfect time. Wrong. When I arrived, there was a therapist in the room preparing to take Joe down the hallway to the physical therapy session. Well, Joe introduced me to the therapist as, she said, "I want you to meet my friend Bruce." She introduced me as my friend Bruce. She did not introduce me as her pastor, as her minister, as her preacher. No, "I want you to meet my friend Bruce." So I met the therapist, and as her friend Bruce, I said, "May I go with Joe down to the therapy session?" She said, "Sure." We walked down the hallway together, and I watched Joe do her physical exercises, and in between her routines, we even had a chance to talk. Well, that's the first time when making a pastoral visit to a nursing home, anyone has introduced me as my friend Bruce. Usually, I want you to meet my pastor, meet my minister, meet my preacher. But no, Joe introduced me as her friend. And I took that as a great compliment. Because Joe and I have a relationship on many levels. I'm her pastor, I'm her preacher, I'm her minister, but I'm also her friend. Not only do I have many levels of relationship with other people, I have many names, as do you. Some people call me Bruce. Some people call me Pastor Bruce. Some people call me Pastor Salmon. Some people call me Reverend Salmon. Some people call me Dr. Salmon. Some people call me Reverend Doc. No, not really. It does look good on paper, though. I suppose some people call me other names. I mean, most of us have many names because we have many relationships with other people. Jesus had many names. The angel told Joseph in a dream that Mary was with child from the Holy Spirit. And Joseph was to name him Jesus because he would save people from their sins. And that's what the name Jesus means. It comes from a Hebrew word which means Savior. So just the name itself indicates what Jesus would do. Jesus would also be called Messiah or the Christ. Now those two words, Messiah and Christ, mean the same thing. They both mean anointed one. Messiah is from the Hebrew, Christ is from the Greek. They both mean anointed one. Jesus would be called Emmanuel, meaning God is with us. That came from the prophecy in Isaiah. Another prophecy in Isaiah said he would be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. So Jesus had many names because one name was not enough to describe who he was. He had all those names and more. He was Jesus, he was Savior, he was Messiah, he was Christ, he was Emmanuel, he was God with us. He was Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. He was Son of God, he was Son of Man, he was Lord, he was Word made flesh. He was God, the only Son, who is close to the Father's heart. One name is not enough to describe who Jesus was. And so today we begin our journey through Advent. The word Advent means coming. We use the season of Advent to prepare for the coming of Jesus. And we use these 4 weeks to understand more fully who Jesus was and what Jesus has done for us. And so to help us prepare more fully for his coming, I've secured for you an Advent calendar. They're on the back table before you leave the sanctuary. And I'm encouraging every family to pick up an Advent calendar, to take it home and to follow it every day of Advent. For every day there is a thought and a scripture reading, and almost all of them are about Jesus. And the idea is that you read each day's thought, look up the scripture passage, read that, and think about Jesus. Use this time, this Advent time, this time of coming, to prepare to celebrate the coming of Jesus. So there's a calendar to the back table. Invite everybody to pick one up and take it with you and use it every day between now and Christmas. Well, our scripture from Matthew is the Christmas story from Joseph's perspective. When Joseph found out that his fiancée Mary was with child, he planned to dismiss her quietly to minimize her public disgrace. Because Joseph was a righteous man, because Joseph cared about Mary, he wanted to make the best of this bad situation, a woman pregnant before marriage. And it was only after the angel appeared to Joseph in a dream, telling Joseph that Mary was with child from the Holy Spirit, she'd not been unfaithful, she hadn't cheated on him, that Joseph changed his mind. And he took Mary as his wife. I find that remarkable, that attitude that Joseph had, that was willing to accept Mary on those terms, because it was a patriarchal society back then, and under a patriarchal society, women are basically the property of men. They were not afforded dignity and respect. Well, unfortunately, that patriarchal view of women has persisted even to our time. And it seems like almost every day, another prominent public figure has been exposed for his abuse of women. Men in power continue to exploit women. I don't even have to say the names of those because they're coming out of the news every day. How different was the attitude of Joseph toward Mary, and how different was the lifestyle of Jesus? Jesus did not exploit women. Jesus treated women with dignity and respect. And that's why women were among his closest friends and among his most loyal followers. Jesus would be appalled at the way women are exploited and abused. And he would condemn the exploitation and abuse of women. Instead of exploiting women, Jesus laid down his life for women and for us all. There's another name that comes to mind when I think about Jesus. John the Baptist called him the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Jesus took away the sin of the world through his death on the cross. His death was the sacrifice for the forgiveness of our sins. And like a sacrificial lamb, Jesus' blood was spilt to make us right with God. So Jesus had many names. He was the Messiah. He was the Christ. He was the Son of God. He was Emmanuel. He was the Prince of Peace. But Jesus was also the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Sometimes words are not enough. Sometimes we need symbols to represent who Jesus was. And the symbols on this table, the bread and the cup, speak eloquently of what Jesus has done for us. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away our sin.
Behold the Lamb of God. comes to take away our sin. Broken hearts,
behold our broken,
fallen of us,
we need you. Behold the sin of man. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away our sin. Behold the Lamb of God, the life and light of man. Behold the Lamb of God who died and rose again. Behold the Lamb of God who comes to take away our sin. Son of God, behold our broken.
Son of man,
we need you.
Behold the Lamb, the hope of man. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away our sin. Behold the Lamb of God, the life and light of man. Behold the Lamb of God who died and rose again. Behold the Lamb of God who comes to take away our sin.
Behold the Lamb of God who comes to take away our sin.
Thank you, Janine and Kenneth and Linda. I gave Janine the CD of that song a couple of weeks ago, and I asked her to learn it, and we appreciate that. Beautiful. This table of the Lord is open to all fellow Christians, and although no one should partake of these sacred emblems impenitent or without faith in Christ, we invite all who are sincerely seeking Him to receive from His sacred table in the assurance that He who came into the world to be the Savior of all will receive you as His own.
On the night He was betrayed, Jesus took bread, and when He gave thanks, He broke it and said, "This is my body, which is given for you. As often as you eat this bread, do this in remembrance of me." May we pray.
Lord, as we take this bread this morning, we remember that You are the bread of life. You feed our souls and nourish our hearts, and we thank You for the amazing love that You showed us by sacrificing Your Son Jesus for us on the cross.
Thank you.
take and eat.
And in the same manner, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Let us pray together.
The blood that made it possible for us to be reconciled through Jesus Christ, that side. We remember the blood this morning that sets us free, that allows us to take our sins to Him, and that He will forgive us. And so we ask that that this morning we are freed up, that we might be service, that might serve Him, because His blood has made it possible. We ask these things in your blessed name. Amen.
Amen.
Paul said, "As often we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." And Jesus said, "Do this in remembrance of me."
What better way to begin Advent than by sharing the Lord's Supper? reminds us what Jesus' coming is all about. It may be there's someone here today who would profess your faith in Jesus, follow him as a believer in baptism, accept the forgiveness and the salvation he offers. Or maybe you've made that commitment, but you're not part of our church family. We'd invite you to join us as we stand together and sing hymn number 83, Come Thou Long Expected Jesus.
Spirit be with us and abide from us all, now and forever. Amen.
Amen.